Torah much and then listen to it online.
Okay, gentlemen, we're on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're 8 lines from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So 18a, and it'll be maybe 2.
Yeah,
I think 2 will be it. So we've determined, back to that statement, Rava said, according to Reb Shimon, if you eat an ola outside of Yerushalayim, before the sprinkling of the blood, you can get 5 lashes. And we said it's 5 lashes the way he deduced it from that pasuk. Remember that pasuk that I failed to send to you? I just remembered that I didn't send it to everybody. You get 5 lashes. What the Gemara is going to do in the next number of lines is say, well, I guess if he says 5 lashes, that's it. 5 lashes and no more. Because he's trying to, I guess, show you how far this can go. Like, what's the worst you could be in this activity? So how many things can we hit you for? It's like the cop who catches you for speeding and then sees your seatbelts on, you don't have your insurance, you don't have your license with you, and they tack on 5 or 6 violations to get you thrown in jail. You know, once we got you, let's catch everything. So Reb Shimon seems to have said, well, this is the maximum, 5 lashes. So Gemara is going to tie 3 or 4 times. Say, wait a minute, there should be another negative prohibition that you've transgressed. Why doesn't he lash an extra one for another transgression that we have not yet talked about? And that's the discussion over here. So, which we said,
so 5 sets of lashes. Right?
5 different sets of lashes. Now you rest in between. Nobody could take 140, whatever. I mean, that is 5 times 39, 185 lashes. Nobody could take that strength. You give them 1 set of lashes, rest up. Another set of lashes, rest up. So now we go back to Gufa. Let's go back to the teaching itself of Amarava. Zor she'ochel mina ola lifnei zrika chutz achoma, a non-kohen who eats from a burnt off, totally burnt offering before the sprinkling outside the walls of Yerushalayim. You said Reb Shimon loka chamesh, she gets lashed 5. So now we're going to ask, v'lilchi, let him get a 6th lash. Nami Mishum, there's another pasuk which we'll elaborate on. It says, Vizor lo yochal ki kodesh hein. A non-kohen shall not eat, we'll see what we're talking about, ki kodesh hein, because they are holy. So what is that pasuk talking about? Let's take a look. We're talking about the miluim. Remember, there was the inaugurative korbanos. When they inaugurated the Mishkan, there were certain korbanos that were brought, and Aaron and his sons were meant to eat from those inaugural korbanos. So it says like this in Lamed Gimel, V'ochlu asam, and they shall eat it, asher kupar bahem, that received atonement from them, lamale es yodam, to lamale es yodam lekadesh osam, to inaugurate them, to sanctify them. These people are the ones who eat it. The ones who inaugurated, who sanctified it, those are the ones who eat it. Vizor, but a non-kohen, lo yochal, shall not eat it, ki kodesh hein, because they are holy foods, and a zor is not allowed to eat it. That's the pasuk. Now let's give you the context. As I said, it's stated regarding the special shlamim offering during the miluim, which has a kutche kadoshim status. Status of korbanos are kutche kutchim. By specifying that a non-kohen may not eat of them because they are holy, because they're kutche kadoshim, the Torah teaches that a non-kohen is prohibited from eating any kutche kadoshim. Okay? That would also seem to include the meat of an ola. So that should be a new lav that we did not consider of the first 5 lashes. It's not this lav. There's another lav that a non-kohen is prohibited from eating any kutche kadoshim, which would appear that even if you'd eat an ola, you would get lashed for that. So why don't you get lashed for that one, a 6th additional lav? So Gemara is going to answer, if you look at the context of this lav, what kind of kutche kadoshim is it talking about? A kutche kadoshim that somebody can eat, kohanim, and Torah is saying, a kutche kadoshim that a kohen can eat, there's a negative prohibition for a non-kohen to eat. So let's say the same thing over here by an ola, that if you eat the ola, it's kachet kedushim. A non-kohen should not be able to eat it. The Gemara answers, no. If you look at the context of the lav, you see that the lav is very specific. Because what was before the lav? It says this should be eaten by the kohen. The kohanim are supposed to eat it, and their zor is not supposed to eat it. Which is telling us that this lav only applies on something that a kohen can eat, but not something that a kohen even can't eat. The lav is contingent upon what kind of kachet kedushim. There's many types of kachet kedushim. There's kachet kedushim that the main idea of kachet kedushim is eaten in the azora and not outside of the temple. So, but a chatas and an ashram is also kachet kedushim. But here it's talking about the inaugural offerings that the kohanim are supposed to eat. And they're supposed to eat it, and not a non-kohen. And therefore, this lav was only, the Gemara answers, hani mili, when do we say you transgress the negative prohibition of a non-kohen eating it? When it is dila kohanim chazi. If it is appropriate for the kohen to eat it. A korban that a kohen can eat, that's when the lav is said that the non-kohen cannot eat it. As the Pasuk says in its entirety, they, the Kohanim, who received atonement through them to inaugurate them, to sanctify them, shall eat them. But a non-kohen shall not eat, for they are holy. So by contrasting the prohibition for non-kohanim to eat kachet kedushim with the permission for kohanim to eat them, the Pasuk said that's one is contingent upon the other. You follow? The negative prohibition of a non-kohen eating is stated in a case where this sacrificial meat is meant to be eaten by a kohen. Only that. But a korban ola, can kohanim eat a korban ola?
No.
So hacha here by a korban ola, that the kohanim nami lo chazi, that for kohanim it's also they're not ready because it's totally burnt. All right. Therefore, we don't apply the lav in that case. Okay. So that's why we can't get him lashed for that, because only kachet kedushim that kohanim can eat, you get lashed, but that's not an ola. Okay.
The atonement is for the Kohanim. Mm-hmm.
Well, it brings atonement is a broad range.
Kohanim atonement. Right?
No, but it's the Kohanim are effectuating the Kohanim for all of Klal Yisrael. It's for all of Klal Yisrael, but they're the ones that it's going through. Okay, now they're going to try another crack at the can, or a different avera that he should get a sixth one for. The lil kinami, maybe we should give him lash also for what? Mishum, the pasuk says, and this pasuk cannot be learned the simple meaning. Not the simple meaning we're going to show in a minute. The pasuk says, ubasar basada treifa lo techelu. Meat, flesh, in the field that is treifa. Treifa means ripped apart. That's what a treifa. Treifa really means it's not shechted properly. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's been ripped. Tarof means to be ripped. So let's say an animal, a wild animal, kills a cow, rips it apart. You can't eat it. Didn't have a proper shechita. Right, that would seem to be the push.
Who's him? Here, let him. Who is he?
The person. If a person, we're
going to say, this case
where the guy is eating an ola outside of Jerusalem, that we said he gets five lashes. Let's give him a sixth for the following lap. Now, we don't know what it is yet, because the pasuk is cryptic and it's not clear. The Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Okay, so again, let's look at this pasuk. It says, Va'anche kodesh tiunli, you are holy people to me, ubasar basada trefa, flesh in the field that has been ripped apart, lo so you don't eat it, la kelev tashir, so give it to the dogs. Okay, so now the question is going to mean, now what is it? What would the simple meaning be? Simple meaning would be, okay, if this piece of an animal is ripped apart,
it's not kosher,
you can't eat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why does it have to say the word basada in the field? Why does it have to say a busser in the field? And if it's not in the field? Mm-hmm. What if it's in a condominium? Well, not a condominium. What's on Bathurst Street?
That's really
and it gets ripped up. Well, then you could eat it? It would seem that where this is happening is totally inconsequential to the main point of it being a treifa, right? So therefore, that can't be the simple meaning of the pasuk, because it has nothing to do with where it happened. So the Gemara is going to explain like this. The word basada, generally basada means the fields, means outside. Outside of what? So therefore the Gemara deduces, the prohibition is as follows. Kivin shiyotza basar chutz lemichitzaso. Once meat, sacrificial meat, goes out of its boundaries, then it's already prohibited. In other words, if you take katshe kadashim, once katshe kadashim animal, at any point, let's say you've shechted it, and now for whatever reason you took the animal and just took it outside the azar, even if you bring it back in afterwards, once it's been out, it's a new prohibition. Katshe kadashim that has left the sanctuary, has left the azara, there's a lav, you cannot eat it. Okay, now let's see how we get this. Okay. Okay, I did the first part. The Gemara therefore understands this as establishing a new umbrella category of meat in the field.
But I already said you can't eat it outside the...
It says you can't eat it. You can't eat it outside. But right. Now we're saying it can't go outside. Well, let's say you're gonna this meat's going to go outside, and then you're going to bring it back in. You still can't eat it. It's a separate prohibition. I'm sorry?
It's not treif. It's not torn.
We'll get to that. Just hang on. We'll get to that. It's a lot to explain in one gulp over here. But with the Gemara, now we know already, if you take the animal that's been shechted and everything's proper, and if I eat it outside the sanctuary, that's a transgression. Here we're saying that once the meat goes outside, it's prohibited to be eaten at all. That means even if you'd bring it back inside, you couldn't eat it. So that's a separate prohibition. There's a prohibition of eating katshe kadashim outside. There's a separate prohibition. If it's gone outside, you can't eat it. So let's read the commentary. So this is called meat. There's meat in the field, which really means meat that has gone outside of its boundaries. Because when you're talking about the Beis HaMikdash versus a field means you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Thus, the verse means that meat which is either in the field or torn may not be eaten. So therefore, two meanings. It definitely, the simple meaning means you can't eat an animal, it's a treif. That's a regular halacha. But what's this field doing over here? That's the extra word. Right. It's the extra word saying anything that's in a field where it's inappropriate to be in the field. And when is that? Vis-a-vis a korban that's katshe kadashim, cannot be eaten. So the expression in the field refers to any item that leaves the confines assigned to it by the Torah. Just as a field is an area unbounded by walls, so too are various items that leave their legally assigned confines considered to be in the field and prohibited for consumption. Thus, meat of a katshe kadashim offering, which must be eaten inside the temple courtyard, is rendered unfit if it is taken outside the boundary and may no longer be eaten even if it is brought back in. The same is true for katshe kalim meat, let's say shlamim, which may be consumed only inside the walls of Yerushalayim. If it's taken outside the walls, it becomes permanently unfit. So that's a separate prohibition. Then there's a whole other thing over here, but I don't want to get into it. So anyway, so that should be a new prohibition. The fact that it's gone out of the walls, that itself is a separate prohibition. So the Gemara answers, no, because again, it's contingent on something. Just like we said before, it's contingent. And what's it contingent? When is it a problem going outside the walls? When it's supposed to be eaten inside the temple. But a korban ola, remember we're talking about an ola now. We're talking about the case where you get five lashes and one is for eating an ola. So hani mili, when do we say there's a prohibition of the sacrificial meat to go outside of the courtyard and to eat it outside? Hecha de bifneim chazi, when it's a fit to be eaten inside the courtyard, such as other kachim, like a chatas and noshim that kohanim can eat. But hacha de bifnim nami lo chazi. But here, even inside, you can't eat it anyway. So therefore, there's no prohibition of taking it outside, because the verse prohibits eating meat that has gone outside the bounds within which it was permitted. Okay, but an ola was never permitted. Yeah. So therefore, it's the same idea as the last one. Yeah. Okay, Gemara's going to give it a third try.
You can take an ola out anyway and bring it back to you.
Burn but it's
out,
already burned.
Bring it back.
That's going to be the next question. That's going to be the next question.
It's already burned.
Gemara said, let's try one more. Vililkinami. Now let's give a third one. Kidda Rebbe Eliezer, based on the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer teaches us another lav. Dumer Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says, on the pasuk over here, it says, "Lo ye'ochel ki kodesh hu." Now we're talking about a whole new thing. Nosar. Remember, nosar. You're supposed to eat a korban pesach by midnight, and it can't be left overnight. And certainly, you can't eat nosar. Okay, that's a special prohibition of nosar, which is going to be extended. Anything that was a korban that's edible and now has achieved a state where you're not allowed to eat it for whatever reason. For whatever reason, you're not allowed to eat it. So the classic example would be nosar, yeah. Right? Nosar, and you can't kikodeshu. So don't eat it. Don't eat meat left over beyond the time of eating. You can't eat it because it's holy. So what does that mean? Turning the page to Yud Ches Amud Beis. So we apply this to Kol Shebakodesh Pasul. Anything that was holy that now has been disqualified for whatever reason. So one disqualification is it's past midnight. So that's a disqualification. Once something's holy and it's been disqualified, so therefore that's a separate lav. You can't eat holy meat that's been disqualified. That has nothing to do with, you know, there's a separate issue. You can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. There's a separate issue. You can't eat it outside the Azara. Now this is not contingent on the Azara at all. It says whatever has become disqualified, you can't eat. It's a separate lav. You can't eat a korban that's been disqualified. So the disqualification specifically over there was nosar, but the Torah was including kol ba hakosav litein lo sasa l'chilaso. The Torah gives another negative commandment for consuming that. All right. So now, once you take the so for whatever reason, right? Now, interesting how we got the drush by stating superfluously the reason why nosar may not be eaten. It could have just said you can't eat nosar. But it adds the words, for it is holy. Why does it say, for it is holy? Of course it's holy. We know it's a korban. It's holy. Why is it it's holy? It implies the prohibition pertains whenever this reason is applicable, meaning when holies become disqualified in any manner. Okay, so now let's look at this ola. This ola became disqualified because it left the courtyard.
Right.
So now there's a separate problem that the ola is disqualified. When you take an ola out of the courtyard, just taken out of the courtyard, it becomes disqualified because you took it out of the courtyard. So that's a separate prohibition of eating disqualified meat. There's a prohibition of eating it outside the courtyard, and now there's a prohibition of eating it because it's disqualified. So let's give them a laugh for that. So again, the answer is same answer. It can only say this lav if you could have eaten it before it was disqualified. And now that it's disqualified, you can't eat, then we get lashed. But an ola you could never eat anyway.
Oh, right,
so. Same answer. Hani, meaning when do we see this? Hecha dakota and pasul chazi. Before it became pasul, it was worthy to be eaten. But here by a korban ola, hecha dakota m'sulanam lo chazi. You couldn't have eaten it before anyway.
Right.
So the same answer. So we've asked three questions, and it's basically the same answer on all three.
But wait, if it was nosar, and you hadn't burned it yet, could you take it out and bring it back in and burn it?
No.
Okay,
I said again.
You didn't eat it all before midnight.
And now it's in Yerushalayim. It's yeah. In Yerushalayim. Okay. You're supposed to burn it now.
Right. So
okay.
You take it outside of Yerushalayim, can you bring it back in and burn it?
Yeah, you still have to burn it.
So
you can't eat it. You still have to burn it.
You can't eat it regardless. The same idea.
Right. But it won't affect that. Just
so
burn
it. Doesn't matter if you took it out.
No. Okay, we're going to give one last try. One last try. Vililki nami Ki idach to Rav Lazar, but there's another reason, like this idea of Rabbi Eliezer. Detanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, kol shehu, anything that is in the category of bekolil tihiyah, something that's supposed to be entirely burnt, such as an ola. Okay, so now you can't give me an answer like we've given the last three answers. What we'll see in a minute. Whatever is something that's supposed to be entirely burnt, guess what? The Torah gives you litein lo sas elechelaso. The Torah gives us a special lav to consuming anything that's supposed to be totally burnt. Okay? And you'll see in a minute the pasuk in a minute is going to tell us. So it has a special negative commandment about eating something that's supposed to be totally burnt. We never had that one before. We had other reasons why you can't. It's outside Jerusalem, this and that. But here's anything that's supposed to be totally burnt and you eat it, that gets a lav. So an ola, for example, has to be totally burnt, so you get a lash for eating that.
How can you eat something that's totally burnt?
It's supposed to be totally burnt. It's supposed to be. But before it got burnt, you ate it. Let's look at the pasuk. It refers to a specific offering. It's really not an ola, but there's many things that have to be totally burnt, such as v'chol minchas kohen kolel. When a normal Jew brings a mincha offering, then the kohanim can eat some of the leftovers of the mincha offering. You take a fistful, and that's burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest can be eaten by the kohanim. There's a few exceptions. One of them is when a kohen brings a mincha, that has to be totally burnt. That's the rule. So v'chol minchas kohen, any mincha of a kohen, kolil, that's supposed to be burnt to yet, lo seachel. So it's not specifically talking about an ola. It's talking about a mincha that's got to be totally burnt. But Rabbi Eliezer says it's not only referring to mincha. Anything that's holy has to be totally burnt. And it carries a lav. You cannot eat something that's supposed to be totally burnt. Instead of burning it, you ate some of it. That's a lav. That we never discussed. The five we discussed yesterday, that wasn't one of them. So here, we're talking about a guy who took an ola. He took it outside of Yerushalayim and he ate it. Oh, so you should transgress the law of eating something that's supposed to be totally burnt. That should be number six. You know what the answer is? Inachadami, you're right. It should be six. When Rava quoted, according to Reb Shimon, that it's five. So what are you telling me? We're right. It should be six. So you may like this answer, you may not like this answer. For Rava, may high crawl, Kamar. But when Rava said, according to Reb Shimon, you're high at five, only he's talking about based on the way he understood that one pasuk. Remember that pasuk. Show it to you one more time. This pasuk, the way he learned it backwards and everything, from this pasuk alone, you could deduce the five lashes you get. So Rava was saying, since Reb Shimon is such a genius, and he was able to extract a pshat from this pasuk, five separate lashes, so you could get lashed five times based on this pasuk. But he never meant to say that's the maximum you could get for any one activity. He's not disagreeing. Maybe you could get six. I could throw in some others from other psukim. But just on Reb Shimon's understanding of this pasuk, we can come up with a situation that only the items regarding this pasuk could be five lashes based on this pasuk. But you're right. I never meant to say that that's the most he could do for eating it. Yeah, you could figure out a sixth one as well. So therefore, that's not a question. Now, once you hear that, guys, what does that really tell us? What about the last three answers we gave? We didn't have to say those answers to say, well, it only applies by something that could be eaten. We could have answered this all along now. We could have gone back to the first three questions, and these were also lav that not based in this pasuk. So that the commentaries discuss that as well. Yeah, okay. But he doesn't bring it up. That's fine. All right, end of this sugya per se with Reb Shimon. But while we're on this topic, the Gemara just throws in a statement of Rav Gittel Amar Rav. The Gemara wants to, he's going to say a statement, or he's going to ask a question on it, and therefore they're going to have to reframe the statement. It's in the general topic, it's related, but we're finished with Reb Shimon. Okay, but we're going to get back to an idea of people not eating things they shouldn't be eating. Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav.
This is the Rav Shimon that says the 13 attributes, right? The 13 ways to learn Torah?
Rabbi Yishmael.
That's Rabbi Yishmael. So he says like this. He says, Kohen she'ochal mechatas va'oshem lifnei zrika. If a Kohen eats a korban chatas, a korban oshem, which a Kohen is allowed to eat part of it, but only after the blood is sprinkled. But he eats it before it's sprinkled. Loika yalash. Now that already we know from Reb Shimon.
Yeah.
Reb Shimon taught us this already, the way he was learning the pasuk. So this Reb Gidla Marav says a similar statement. But he learns it from another source. He used another source for this halacha. Right? If a Kohen eats food he's entitled to eat, but eats for the zrika, he gets lashed. My time, what's the reason? Domar Kra, the pasuk says, we already had it, that pasuk. Va'ochlo osam asher kupar b'hem. We're talking about the Kohanim eating the inaugural offerings. Who received atonement through them shall eat them. So now, when can you eat? From the pasuk, when is it telling us you can eat it?
After you after receive the atonement.
Ah, and when does the atonement come? What process must happen?
I have to go through the whole procedure.
But what specific one? The sprinkling of the blood. Sprinkling of the blood is when the atonement is achieved. So the pasuk is saying, they eat from that which atonement has been achieved. Which is obviously telling us you can't eat it before atonement is achieved, but only after atonement is achieved. That was the inaugural offering, but he's applying to all korbanos now. Any korban that a kohen can eat can only be eaten after the atonement has been achieved. Which means to say the deduction is la'achar kapara in lifnei kapara lo, but before kapara you can't eat it. Now, therefore you get lashed. Now, the problem is, wait a minute. Does the Torah say, thou shalt not eat meat that is not been sprinkled yet? Did it say, thou shalt not? No, now remember, back to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, it says, lo sucha lecho bisharecha. You can't eat it.
Yeah.
And then he applies the pasuk of the chatas and the asham in the green box here. It's eaten by a coin. Eaten the purple box. If eaten, where's before Zrika? No, Todah Shlomim. If eaten before Zrika, gets Malkus. And all the others the same thing. So Reb Shimon, it's in a puzzle, says, thou shalt not.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very good. He says, you get lashed. If a coin eats before Zrika, it says, thou shalt not. Here, the problem with this Rav Gidla Marav is, the pasuk didn't say, thou shalt not. Let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, they who received the Torah of them shall eat them.
Yeah,
that's a positive.
Yeah,
right. But we can deduce from the positive that there's a negative.
Right. Yeah.
If I tell you, yeah, after it's sprinkled, you can eat it.
Yeah.
And what do you understand from that?
Okay,
so did it say did it specifically say no, thou shalt not eat the korban before it's sprinkled? No, but we can deduce it, and this is called, it's a term, it's a good term to remember, lav habo michlal asay, a negative prohibition that can be inferred
from
the way the positive has been said, is considered lavu. It's considered a negative, and you'll be lashed for it. That's what Gidla Marav says.
Okay.
That's a big, big problem.
Rav
Gidl's assumption that from the that the deduction from the positive is a negative that you get lashed for is at odds with the accepted view that malchus are not incurred for this type of violation. We've learned that a little while ago.
Yeah.
That the only way you're lashed is if it says thou shalt not.
So that
Rav Gidla Marav at this point says, oh, you get lashed because I can deduce from that. To which the Gemara is going to show you in a minute, again, demonstrably says, you can't say that.
No.
Even though you can deduce it,
no,
you're right. All we can say is you've transgressed the positive. You didn't fulfill the positive because you didn't wait for atonement to happen. But you don't get lashed for not fulfilling a positive. Even though we can deduce the negative, but you don't lash for deduction, which the Gemara is now going to show you another example that you don't get lashed for the deduction of the negative, and therefore your statement is incorrect. going to refute the statement, therefore we'll have to modify the statement. Masiv Rava, Rava's going to ask the question based on the fact that what we know, that a deduced lav, you don't get lashed. How do we know this? It says, for example, about non-kosher animals that you cannot eat. It says, V'chol behema mafreses parsa v'shosas shesa shte prosos malas gerub behema osam tochelu. Torah tells you what you may eat. You have to have the two signs, split hooves, which are completely separated into two hooves, and it brings up its cud, chews its cud. That is what you may eat.
Yep.
Okay, now, what could I deduce from that?
That anything that doesn't have that, you cannot.
Okay, so so the deduction could have been, oh, so, it says that, tochelu, you eat that, ve'ein behema cheres tochel, and no other animals can you eat.
Right.
Correct?
Okay.
So if I, so you're telling me, based on what you're saying, so now we can deduce that anything that doesn't have it, you can't eat, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to say your rule that we can deduce the negative from the positive, if you're going to go with your line of thinking, let's see, it's not going to work over here. Why? If it's going to be like you say, that a prohibited prohibition implied by a positive statement has the full force of a prohibition, that's what he's really saying. If you can deduce a prohibition, it's got the full force of a prohibition. So let's look over here by kosher animals. Once it tells me what a kosher animal is, right, what can I deduce from that?
Anything that isn't that, you cannot eat.
That's right. Would the Torah have to even tell that to me?
No.
If you're telling me that once I can deduce, it's like it's there. It's like written.
Right, but...
So would the Torah have to mention animals that don't have the two signs are not kosher?
Not
but the
really.
Torah does. Alright, he could a comrade eszet lo tochlu, but then right afterwards says, and now the following may not be eaten. When you tell me the following may not be eaten, I already know what you can't eat. It says two signs you may eat. Anything that doesn't have two signs, you can't eat. Period. So why is, and then the Torah goes along and says, now these are the ones you can't eat, and they don't have the two signs. So why is the prohibition not already derived by implication from the positive statement of the previous verse?
It even gives specific animals.
Mm. Since the Torah found it necessary to explicate the prohibition, it is obvious that a prohibition implied by a positive statement does not have the greater force of prohibition and does not carry malchus. Now, that's why, for example, if you eat a pig, do you get lashed if you're warned?
If you're warned, you're warned.
Yeah. Now, why are you lashed? Because the Torah says, thou shalt not eat a pig.
Right.
But wait a minute. According to Rav Gidlam or Rav, why does the Torah have to say you shall not eat a pig? It doesn't have to say it at all.
No.
Just say you can only eat animals with two signs.
That's right.
And I know you can't eat a pig, you get lashed.
Yeah.
So we see when you deduce a negative, you may be able to deduce, but it doesn't have the full force of a negative commandment and doesn't carry lashes. And therefore, your statement, Amar Rav Gidlam Arav, is wrong. How can you tell me that if you eat the Kohen eats the Chatas before the spring of the blood, you get lashed? You only, that only comes from a deduction of a positive commandment.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have to say what Rav Gil Arad is, just modify one word and he'll make sense. Eloi Itmar, but if you're going to say something in the name of Rav Gidlam Arad, Hochimer, this is what he said. Not if a non-Kohen eating it, but Amar Rav Gidlam Arad, I'm not of a Kohen eating it, but Zor Sha'ocho Mechatas for Oshem Te Zrika. He mentioned a Kohen who eats before the Zrika. If you look carefully, the original statement was Kohen Sha'ocho Mechatas for Oshem Te Zrika. But now he modifies it to say Zor Sha'ocho Mechatas for Oshem Te Zrika, and not Chayev. But Potter, he's exempt from Malchus, even though the Torah expressly forbids a non-Kohen to eat Kodshei Kedoshim. He's going to, and that's what it says. It said, Zor can't eat it. But if he eats it before the sprinkling, if a Zor eats it before the sprinkling, you don't get lashed. Why? My taima. Because the Torah says, "Domakrava ochlo sam asher kupa rahem." The Kohen eats it once there's atonement. Once it's been sprinkled, the Kohen can eat it. But any Yisrael can't eat it. When? Once it's been sprinkled. But what's our case before the sprinkling? So call Hechad Akrim, whenever it applies for Ochla, some you can eat it, Asher Kupar, but because you've had atonement, then we say Azor cannot eat it. Karin and Bay, we read it, Vezor lo Yocha, Kodesh Azor cannot eat it. And then he gets lashed once it's been sprinkled. But the case of Gidol Marav is with all Hecha the Lo Karim. But if you can't apply to it for Achlu some you may eat a Sher Kubarim because you have an atonement, which is before the sprinkling, then we don't apply the Lav Lo Karim and Bay Vizar Lo Yachel. We don't apply that a foreigner may not eat it. So even though the pasuk says, but the Kohen eats these kachim once has been atonement.
Right.
And a non-Kohen cannot eat it. That's when he would get lashed once the blood's been sprinkled.
Right.
But if the blood's not been sprinkled, and the Kohen isn't even supposed to eat it, and if a Jew eats it, he doesn't get punished for a Zor eating it, because the only time the Zor can't eat it is when the Kohen can eat it.
Uh-huh.
So since the Kohen can't eat it yet, because we didn't sprinkle the blood, the Lav doesn't apply. The Lav of Yisrael eating what a coin's supposed to eat is only when a coin's supposed to eat it.
Right.
But before the coin's supposed to eat it, before the sprinkling, he does not get lashed.
It's not even a sin?
It could be a sin, but it's not a lashable one. Not a lashable one.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on to Bikurim. Back to Bikurim tomorrow.